Are you searching for adventure?
Twink, bear, cub, otter.
She was like a murdery Gorton's fisherman.
Wait, this happened in the movie?
A lifetime of Hallmark.
Well, hello, everybody. It is your favorite day of the week. It's time for another episode of A Lifetime of Hallmark, where we talk about movies on Lifetime and the Hallmark Channel and try to make sense of them. This is a very special episode, and I am your host, Les Kirkendall Barrett. Hello, Jason Bauer.
Pew, 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 pew. Bonus episode. Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett.
And hello, Kirk Fitzpatrick.
Hello, Les Kirkendall Barrett, and hello, Jason Bowers. Welcome to our bonus episode.
Pew, pew, pew.
I'm like a little off of my game today because we normally don't record on Sundays, and so I'm like, oh. But yes, the reason for this podcast is we are talking about the little mini episode that was sponsored by KFC. What was it called?
A Recipe for Seduction.
A Recipe for Seduction.
It's real.
Starring Mario Lopez. Now, I know we talked about last week the fact that we saw this thing popping up at different places and we thought it was a goof. And then it turned out to be a real thing. So we would be remiss if we didn't talk about it. Even though it was 15 minutes that I could have been doing other things.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. It was exactly what we knew it was going to be. It was branded content. They wanted an excuse to sell ad time to KFC. And as the message at the beginning of the movie told us, this piping hot love affair of deep fried romantic goodness is presented by Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Now,
it sure was.
I got to tell you.
We're promoting them too now, but here we are. We have to do it.
I got to tell you, they are smart because everybody is talking about this.
Oh yeah,
everybody. But
the point of this wasn't to get viewers for Lifetime. If it were, they wouldn't have buried it at noon on a Sunday. The point of it was to get people talking about KFC on social media.
And
interesting.
Yeah. Did you guys know that they have like a vegan Burger King has the Impossible Burger.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. KFC has like a vegan sort of Impossible Burger version of chicken.
No.
I'm good.
I mean, it might exist, but I don't want it.
Same.
Well, see, because I don't eat meat. I don't eat meat, so I was thinking about going and checking it out. And, you know, I do love some KFC mashed potatoes. And
we're really heavy on the promotion of KFC.
Well, because it worked, because you know what? After watching this thing, I have been thinking about KFC mashed potatoes all day since I watched this thing.
So as I was telling Kurt and Les before the podcast, I tested positive for COVID this week. So I've lost my sense of smell. And as a result, I've lost my sense of taste, or at least part of it. And like in the lead up to this movie, I was excited about like, oh, maybe I'll have KFC that day. I kind of want the taste of KFC. And then I realized I'm not going to be able to taste it anyway.
Yeah.
So this did not work on you.
No.
Right. No.
I'm curious how they work, because that's an interesting point that you made, Jason, that they buried this at noon. And of course, on the West Coast, it's at 9 a.m.
It's 9 a.m.
So, it just needs to exist. They don't. If they could get away with it, they probably wouldn't even air it.
Right.
It just needs to exist on some level.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. They're getting so much press from this because like Wendy Williams got a hold of it.
Yeah.
And that's when I found out it was real because Wendy Williams was talking about it.
Wow.
So
I like that you went straight to the news source of Wendy Williams.
Well, if she's getting some cash from this. I'm curious how they worked this out. I would say Mario Lopez should have gotten paid a wheelbarrow full of money for this one, because when they came up with the idea for this, they came up with, because it's basically an ad campaign.
Yeah.
I'm sure they probably pitched it. Mario Lopez is Colonel Sanders. They probably had like a mock-up of him.
Yeah.
It's all right, we'll go to Mario Lopez. But they should have paid everybody in this very well, because it's basically a commercial.
Well, Mario Lopez got extra promotion because they showed this and then they showed his new movie, Feliz Navidad, like right after this.
Yeah, but you know, you can't pay artists. You can't say it's exposure, you know. I read, is this true? I read that Tiffany Haddish got offered to host, was it the Grammys?
And it was the Grammys pre-show, and they wanted her to pay for her own like hair and makeup for it, and she blasted him for it, and I don't blame her.
Oh, but she was getting paid. They were going to pay her something.
I'm not sure. I don't know what the deal is when you host something like that, like what the payment structure is, but she was upset about, you want me to do this? You want me to, I'm doing this on my own time, and now I've got to pay for my hair and my makeup, and I'm on camera for you? That makes no sense.
Which is not cheap.
Yeah.
No. That's crazy.
Which is not cheap at all.
They got the money for this nonsense. Hire the hair and makeup.
Absolutely.
Jeez.
Of course, you know, so good for her. But it's also kind of sad because, you know, I know at my low level of my low rung of the entertainment industry, it's like I bitch about people wanting me to do shit for free. So I'm like, God, they're asking her to do shit for free. Does it ever get better?
What? It's not even asking her to do something for free. It's asking her to do something at an expense to her.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And she should get paid for that. I've always heard there's a story. Well, there's something that happens when you get you get a part of commercial. You know, you're the commercial. You're getting paid a lot of money, and then they say, "All right, so you do improv, right? Improv." So now you improv in the commercial. Now you have just written a commercial, and you should essentially get paid a ton of money now for being a writer of the commercial. But if you complain, you could get seamlessly blacklisted from doing any commercials. So people get in that situation, they just keep their mouth shut and they just hope to get more acting work.
And I guess with Tiffany Haddish, she's famous enough that she can complain and get away with it.
Yeah.
And B, since it's the Grammys and it's music, she's not in the music industry anyway.
Well, it's so also funny because the Recording Academy has already been under a cloud of scandal. They're the head of the Recording Academy either quit or got pushed out last year. I forget the details around it, but it was a really shady thing as to how this person was pushed out. So the fact that they're even tiptoeing into controversy again is just dumb on their part.
Right.
I remember years ago, Metallica was up for best heavy metal album. They got beaten out by Jethro Tull years ago. There's a Mongo in the jungle.
So shall we talk about this movie a little bit?
We should.
No, I want to talk more about Jethro Tull. All right, let's do it.
Okay, so we're at a table. We're at a glamorous table. And now this was very soap opera-like, which drew me to it right away. So we're at the table. It's like a dinner party. Everybody's eating, and they're talking about how good the chicken is.
They're at this fancy dinner party having fried chicken.
Right. And they're just like, oh my God, the chicken is wonderful. And so then all of a sudden, Billy Garibaldi proposes to Jessica across the table. Now, I have said this on our podcast before. Never, ever, ever, ever propose to somebody in a room full of people.
Yeah, don't do the public proposal. No.
You should learn that from watching Working Girl.
Right. Because you will get embarrassed every time. Because Jessica didn't say no, but Jessica said, let me think about it, which basically is no.
And yeah, that's not good.
So Jessica's mother is pissed because Jessica's mother is like, listen, we're in debt. You need to marry this guy.
Her mom's name is Bunny, by the way.
Bunny. Yes.
Bunny.
So then, as Jessica's getting yelled at, and this is the next day, as Jessica's getting yelled at by Bunny, all of a sudden, a hot Colonel Sanders comes walking into the room.
And if for anyone listening, if you haven't seen any of the images from Mario Lopez as Colonel Sanders, it's like the Colonel Sanders like color white shirt, but it's like a short sleeve, like, and really tight, so it's showing off his muscles. They've put like silver in his hair, so he's got like, you know, salt and pepper hair, and has the stupid little beard and mustache.
Right.
But like looking ripped.
Yeah. But yeah, and he's bursting out of the shirt.
Yeah.
And so Jessica, of course, is like, ooh.
I mean, he looked, if I might add, finger looking good.
Right. Exactly.
Do you think they have to get permission from like Colonel Sanders estate, or do you think, or just like KFC just own Colonel Sanders' image?
I think they own it.
Oh, I'm sure they own the image for purposes of marketing. Yeah.
I was reading up on Colonel Sanders. It's kind of interesting. Wait, I don't think he looked like Mario Lopez.
Tell us about Colonel Sanders. What did you read?
Yes, oh, fascinating stuff. Oh, it says, I think he got kind of started in the chicken a little bit later in life. He was in the forefront of the fast food industry. So there weren't really. So what he did, he had a gas station, and he started making his chicken at this gas station and serving stuff there, and that's kind of where it began. And then he kind of like bought a gas station down the street, and that like kind of started kind of franchising himself out. I like this line here. It says, "This is when he had a. This is when he was commissioned as a Kentucky colonel. His local popularity grew, and in 1939, food critic Duncan Hines. His name was Duncan.
Everybody Duncan was Hines involved. Was a food critic."
Duncan Hines was a food critic. Food critic Duncan Hines visited Sanders' restaurant and included in Adventures of Good Eating his guide to restaurants throughout the U.S. And it said, a very good place to stop en route to Cumberland Falls and the Great Smokies. Continuous 24-hour service and sizzling steaks, fried chicken. So, yeah, they could make a whole movie about this.
Like, hey, steaks? I'm
Duncan Hines. Well, he had a whole bunch of stuff. As country hams, hot biscuits, but I guess the chicken really caught on.
What?
As they say in this little movie, they talk about like he had a secret recipe. He actually did.
Well, yeah, wow. That's the big, that's one of the big marketing hooks of KFC for years is the secret recipe. Now, was he an actual colonel in the military?
Yeah, good question.
No, I just had that information up here. No, he was, where is it now? He was commissioned as a Kentucky colonel in 1935 by Kentucky Governor Ruby LaFoon. What he did was basically he was kind of a genius. Like he branded himself before branding yourself was a thing. He's basically a self-created pop culture icon.
Right.
Because he played up the Colonel image, played up this whole image.
He was Lady Gaga before Lady Gaga was Lady Gaga.
Right.
He was the definitive Black China before Black China was Black China. Black China's role model when they say, who's your role model?
Colonel Sanders. And now I'm very curious because, so did Duncan Hines go and like try someone's cake and he's like, your cake sucks, I'm going to invent my own?
Man,
cake?
I just started going down this Duncan Hines rabbit hole. Apparently he was a food critic. Duncan Hines, I don't know where I was. I keep missing my place. Where is it? Yeah, Duncan Hines was a food critic. Oh, where is it? I just lost Duncan Hines. So, oh yeah, here he is. Yeah, 1939, Duncan Hines. He was an American pioneer for restaurant ratings for travelers. Best known today for the brand of food product that bears his name. Who knows this? He was a critic.
Oh,
that's crazy.
There you go.
Yeah. All right, what's Sara Lee's deal? I said, what's Sara Lee's deal?
Man, I don't know. There's a lot going on here. This is supposed to be a short episode. We're going down a rabbit hole.
I don't really need to know about Sara Lee. I was just joking.
Sara Lee. I'll look her up. Let's continue. I'll look her up.
Sara Lee. So Jessica is smitten with Colonel Sanders as I don't blame her. And so she gives Colonel Sanders the tour of the estate, right? So she doesn't want to marry Billy. She tells Colonel Sanders she doesn't want to marry Billy. He starts telling her about his secret chicken recipe, and then Billy shows up, and he's pissed. And Billy tells Jessica, you're making the biggest mistake of your life, and he calls Colonel Sanders a crouton. And Colonel Sanders is like, don't call me crouton. So then, all of a sudden, Jessica's talking to her best gay friend, Lee.
Sarah Lee?
So was he Sarah Lee?
Ooh, maybe.
Yay, a payoff.
So Lee's on the phone, and Lee's telling Jessica, like, Jessica's telling Lee about what's going on, and Lee's like, I gotta go. I have a date at the country club. So then the mom, and we see this a lot in Lifetime movies, the mom gets Jessica's cell phone and sends a text. And so then she ends up, the mom, Bunny, ends up at the country club where she meets Billy. And Bunny tells Billy that Jessica is falling for Colonel Sanders. And they talk about the secret recipe and how they need to get their hands on that secret recipe. And then we find out that Bunny is actually sleeping with Billy, the guy who proposed to Jessica.
I mean, not that we weren't going to find plot holes in this 15-minute mini-movie, but I felt like, well, if Bunny was sleeping with Billy, why did the daughter need to marry Billy? The mom could have just married him, right?
Right, and the mom was a hot mom. Yeah. She was a very hot mom.
If he was into the mom and the mom was into him and she just wanted the money anyway, then why does the daughter need to be involved?
And truth be told, Billy looked like he was closer to the mom's age than to Jessica's age.
Yeah.
That mom has some special skills too, because she was like, listen, we could spend another weekend together. It's like, sure, anything. I was like, right. What's going on in that? What's happening on those weekends? I can only imagine.
So then Billy goes into the kitchen.
Well, we also see that Lee is there at the country club and sees them talking.
Right.
And can we talk about the fact, this was actually, I don't think this was a nod to Lifetime movies, but it was something Lifetime movies do, where that room at the country club was clearly a room at the house where they were filming that they just set decorated and make it look like it was the country club.
That's what I thought it was. I thought it was like a hotel bar that they were in.
Well, they're like, we've got to stay on brand.
They definitely did. They were checking all the boxes.
So then Colonel Sanders shows up and first Billy finds Colonel Sanders' backpack and he gets his secret recipe. So then Colonel Sanders shows up and Billy's like, how much do I need to pay you to get out of town? And then Billy gives Colonel Sanders a check for $12,000.
No, it's $500,000.
Oh, was it $500,000?
I saw a five.
Yeah.
Okay, so $500,000. Either way, that's a big F you. It's like, that's it? That's all you're going to give me to get out of town?
$500,000?
So then, meanwhile, Lee, the gay friend, comes over. And Lee is like, I saw he goes to Bunny and he's like, I saw you and Billy at the country club. And just like a Lifetime movie, Bunny hits Lee over the head.
With what I believe was a shuffleboard stick.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
So then Colonel Sanders goes to Jessica. And he's like, listen, Jessica, you tell your fiancé that I cannot be bought off. And then Colonel Sanders and Jessica start kissing. And then Jessica goes to her mom, and she's like, well, I can't marry Billy. I'm not going to marry him. And then Bunny tells Jessica, well, you know what? Colonel Sanders left. He's gone. And so then Jessica is walking through the grounds. She hears a noise. She goes to the shed, I guess, and there's blood on the doorknob, just like in a regular type movie.
Yep.
And so she opens the door and she finds Colonel Sanders tied up in the room. But then we find out that the gay guy escaped. And so we find out the gay guy escaped. So then Billy and Bunny are getting ready to do something nefarious to Colonel Sanders. Ooh. But then, all of a sudden, the gay guy shows up and he hits Billy in the head, just like on a Lifetime movie.
With the same shuffleboard stick, by the way.
And then Jessica hits her mom. And then we go to 1 year later. And Colonel Sanders and Jessica are getting married. Bunny is in the insane asylum. But she's in the yard, like at the end of a lot of the Lifetime movies. They're in the yard. And so then Billy shows up and finds her, and they eat drumsticks.
The end. See, here's the problem with this. This just came into my head. They're doing a parody of Lifetime movies, but they can't really make fun of the Lifetime movies because they're on Lifetime. So they can't really go over the top and, you know, really exaggerate and make it ridiculous. So it doesn't.
I have a different theory. I have a theory that they actually could have made more fun of Lifetime, but in doing so effectively for what this was, they would have had to make Colonel Sanders the villain, and the brand probably didn't want to do that.
Right.
This would have been way more enjoyable if Colonel Sanders, like in any other Lifetime movie, would have been the killer, would have been the bad guy doing all the horrible things the entire time.
Yeah, and they could have called it the wrong bucket of chicken.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, there are definitely a lot of hands. I don't think you guys have worked on commercials or audition, at least audition for commercials. There's a bunch of people in the room, like the actual ad people, the product people are in the room.
Oh, yeah.
And they were probably on the set of this thing.
Oh yeah.
Looking over every piece of minutia, which is it never works.
One of my most surreal moments as an actor was I was doing a commercial for Saturn years ago. And I was the principal in the commercial, and there's this group of ad execs, and they're all looking right at me. They're talking about me. They're just discussing my wardrobe or whatever, but from a distance, it looks like they're just putting me down, and you see the hands in the air, and they're talking. And then they just come over to me, and they're like, yeah, we're just going to change out your watch. Like this whole huge conference of people
for your watch,
staring me down, and they're like, yeah, the watch didn't look right. We got to change that.
You're like, oh my God, am I getting fired?
Yeah, that's what it felt like.
God,
it's crazy. That's probably what the shoe was like.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, probably. Colonel Sanders isn't slutty enough. Let's make his shirt tighter.
Right. Let's have him tighter. Burst out of that shirt.
As you were doing the recap, Les, did it feel weird every time you would very matter of factly talk about Colonel Sanders and what he was doing?
That was fun. I did enjoy that.
And that's it. That's it.
Well, good. Well, good for them for having a good ad campaign. I think in the credits they even said special thanks to the Lifetime ad department.
I mean, hey, they were talking about it. People are talking about it, so
they did it. It's a success.
They did it. Anywho, well, let's keep this short because we are going to be talking again in a couple of days. So now I'm going to be thrown off for the week since we've done. It's going to be in my head now. Okay, we've already recorded this week. And it's wait, we've got a whole other one.
That's right.
So anyway, if you want to find me, you can find me on Facebook at Les Kirkendall Barrett, or you can find me at my website, leskirkendallbarrett.com. I also have two other podcasts. If you are a fan of reality shows, I have this podcast that is actually like blowing my mind because it's called Reality Reading Rainbow, where I read books by reality stars, mainly from the Bravo channel, and I try to make sense of those too. I started this podcast at the end of October around Halloween, and a couple of days ago, I hit 5,000 downloads, like, already.
That's awesome.
So check it out. I'm talking about, this week, I'm talking about Danielle Staub from The Real Housewives of New Jersey and finishing up that book. And the next week, I'm going to be talking about Mary Cosby from The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, the woman who married her step-grandfather. So
tune in.
I just learned who she was earlier today, and I am shook.
I think I may have to read that book. I'm kind of curious. Or well, I no, just listen.
So the Mary, Mary Cosby doesn't have a book out yet, so what I'm going to do is read Reddit and talk about different Reddit posts.
Okay.
Her step-grandfather.
Yes, it's a whole thing. Jason.
You can find all of us on Instagram at Lifetime of Hallmark Podcast. You can find me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Big Shot Jason. Kurt.
I just completed last night the Kurt Fitzpatrick Made It This Far holiday special. My comedy special aired on Fringe live stream as it was a Saturday, December 12th, but it's still up. You can still check it out on Fringe live stream. You can check out my website. You know, where also has information on how to find it at KurtFitzpatrick.com. It's Kurt with a K. And that's it.
It was funny. I saw it last night. Oh yes. I almost forgot. Yeah. We are now on Pandora.
Woo!
So, yes, I'm very happy about that. So one more place where you can catch us. And wherever you catch us, please give us a 5-star review. We could definitely use it, and it helps us, and it helps the show. And also, make sure you subscribe and share with your friends. And that's it. So I will talk to you guys, I guess, in a couple of days. And everybody else, thank you for listening. Bye.
Bye.
Bye.